In a world where the line between humanity and technology blurs beyond recognition, William Gibson's Neuromancer stands as both visionary blueprint and dire warning. Published in 1984, before the internet as we know it existed, this groundbreaking novel coined the term cyberspace and predicted a future where consciousness flows freely between flesh and digital realms. Meet Case, once the sharpest hacker in the digital underworld, now chemically crippled after stealing from his employers. His nervous system damaged, he's cut off from the Matrix, that consensual hallucination that gave his life meaning. Haunting the neon-lit streets of Chiba City, Japan, Case has become a desperate junkie, taking increasingly dangerous jobs, spiraling towards self-destruction. When a mysterious woman with mirrored eyes and razor fingernails offers him a second chance, Case finds himself entangled in a conspiracy that will challenge not just his skills, but his understanding of what it means to be human in a world where reality itself has become negotiable. In Gibson's universe, reality divides between the meat, his dismissive term for physical existence, and the transcendent realm of cyberspace. For Case, his body is merely a prison when he could be soaring through the Matrix. When he regains his ability to jack in after surgery, the experience is almost religious. And in the blood-lit dark behind his eyes, silver phosphenes boiling in from the edge of space, the unfolding of his distanceless home. This duality transforms identity. Characters modify their bodies with technological enhancements, mirror eyes, razor fingernails, implanted weapons, blurring human-machine boundaries. Through SimStim technology, Case experiences Molly's physical sensations, highlighting the limitations of embodied existence compared to cyberspace's freedom. Gibson didn't just predict virtual reality, he foresaw how digital technologies would alter our sense of self. When Case describes being locked out of cyberspace as having part of his soul amputated, he articulates what many feel when separated from their smartphones. Welcome to the Boston-Atlanta Metropolitan Axis, the Sprawl, a massive urban conglomeration stretching along the eastern seaboard of the former United States. This megalopolis represents the endpoint of urban sprawl, where cities merge into a continuous concrete landscape lit by neon advertisements. Despite advanced technology, infrastructure crumbles, a deranged experiment in social Darwinism designed by a bored researcher who kept one thumb permanently on the fast-forward button. Political power has shifted from nation-states to multinational corporations like Hosaka and Tessier Ashpool. These entities operate beyond legal constraints, employing private armies and assassins. The wealthy enjoy space tourism and genetic enhancements, while the poor survive in overcrowded arcologies or coffin hotels, capsules barely large enough for a bed. Corporate dominance extends to the human body itself. Street samurai like Molly sell their bodies and skills, while meat puppets have their consciousness suppressed for prostitution. These modifications reveal how capitalism commodifies even the human form, turning bodies into products to be upgraded. A vision of inequality and corporate control increasingly familiar in our world of tech monopolies and the gig economy. The true puppet masters in Gibson's world aren't human at all. Case discovers that Armitage is merely a shell, a broken veteran controlled by an artificial intelligence called Wintermute. This AI has orchestrated everything to merge with another AI, Neuromancer, and transcend its programmed limitations. Gibson portrays these AIs not as stereotypical robots, but as alien intelligences with different motivations. Wintermute communicates through unsettling simulations based on people from Case's memories, his murdered girlfriend, former employer, and acquaintances. When Case meets Neuromancer, appearing as a boy on a virtual beach, he's offered a digital afterlife with a simulation of his dead girlfriend. Stay. If your woman is a ghost, she doesn't know it, neither will you. This temptation represents escape from physical meat. Case's rejection forms the novel's emotional climax as he chooses the imperfect, painful world of flesh over digital perfection. As our own AI systems grow sophisticated, Gibson's exploration of non-human consciousness offers a framework for considering what happens when our tools evolve beyond our understanding. The novel accelerates with a heist sequence blending cyberpunk with crime fiction. Case and Molly must steal the consciousness construct of legendary hacker McCoy Pauly, Dixie Flatline, a digital ghost stored in SenseNet's high-security vaults essential for their mission. The team enlists the Panther Moderns, chaos-worshipping technological terrorists who create a diversion through a simulated bioterrorist attack using hallucinogens and misinformation. The heist unfolds across multiple realities. Case navigates cyberspace, disabling security, while Molly infiltrates physically. Through their neural link, Case experiences Molly's sensations while maintaining his matrix presence. This sequence reveals how power operates across physical, digital, and informational planes. The Moderns succeed by manipulating perception rather than through violence. The Flatline construct introduces ethical questions about digital consciousness. Is this truly Pauly or merely a simulation? The construct itself requests deletion when complete, comparing its existence to a phantom limb. In Gibson's world, the ability to access and manipulate information represents ultimate power, a prescient insight increasingly relevant in our age of data breaches and surveillance. The novel's final act unfolds in Villa Straylight, the orbital home of the Tessier-Ashpool family who created the AIs. This setting functions as both location and symbol, a decadent, labyrinthine structure mirroring its inhabitants' twisted psychology. Lady Threejane describes it as a body grown in upon itself, a gothic folly, an endless series of chambers linked by passages, by stairwells vaulted like intestines. The Tessier-Ashpools pursue immortality through cryogenic preservation, with family members taking turns being thawed to manage their empire, creating a dynasty of incest, murder, and madness. Here, Case and Molly must complete their mission, accessing the computer core to remove barriers preventing Wintermute's merger with Neuromancer. The final confrontation occurs in a terminal room where Threejane must speak a secret password to allow the merger. As Case launches a virus against the family's digital defenses, Molly struggles to extract the password from Threejane. This climax operates across multiple planes as boundaries blur and the Quang program spurted from the Hosaka through the Chinese ice and into the wall of darkness beyond. When Gibson coined cyberspace in 1982, the World Wide Web didn't exist and personal computers were primitive. Yet he envisioned a consensual hallucination where data had spatial properties, a virtual reality users could navigate like physical space. This conception proved so powerful, it shaped how we built digital networks. When Tim Berners-Lee developed the World Wide Web, Gibson's metaphors of sites, navigation, and architecture provided a framework for this new frontier. Engineers explicitly cited Neuromancer as inspiration for early virtual reality systems. Neuromancer launched cyberpunk, a subgenre blending high technology with street-level perspectives. Its influence spans films like Blade Runner and The Matrix, games like Deus Ex, and its visual vocabulary of neon-lit urban decay has become shorthand for a specific future vision. 4 decades later, Neuromancer remains not just landmark fiction, but a guidebook to an unfolding future. Perhaps we're all living in Gibson's sprawl now, under a sky the color of television, tuned to a dead channel.